Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel of Holland.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice.
The whole world was lost in the darkness of sin. The light of the world is Jesus. Like sunshine at noonday, His glory shone in. The light of the world is Jesus. Come to the light, 'tis shining for thee. Sweetly the light has dawned upon me. Once I was blind, but now I can see. The light of the world is Jesus. Reading from Romans chapter 2, the last part, and chapter 3, first few verses. Romans 2:28. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. What advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God, For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. Let's give thanks for these words. They show us God's way. They show us our need of Christ, the light of the world. Our Father, we come to thee through Christ Jesus, thy Son, he who is the new and living way, he who is alone the Savior of the world, and as was sung, the light of the world. Help us to see all these things in him that we need, and all that will give glory to thy name. We pray, Father, that the church might be blessed because of Christ, that we may learn from these words the need of repentance, the need of repentance in doctrine, the need of repentance in life, especially the need of repentance when we are proud, puffed up, when we trust in our own works, when we are satisfied with the form of godliness, but do not know the need of thy power, and that power that is alone from and in Christ. As we can read from the pen of John, that they overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus, and because of the blood, that thou wilt now lead us into the truth of these words, that we may have what, Lord Jesus, you said before you died, that when the Spirit comes, he will lead into all truth. We know that he must come to each one of us to be saved, but we know also that after that and in the church we can grieve the Spirit. And we pray, Father, that now when the church has left the truth in many ways and much of the church, that the Spirit might come back and lead us into all truth, may make us one in the truth. And Father, even the fact that we are so divided is sadly the proof that we are not all in the truth. And we pray that we may have that. Thou hast said the importance of love, and that love rejoiceth not in iniquity, but in the truth. And we pray, Father, that we may have that for thy glory, that we may have it for the reviving of the church, for the awakening of the world, and for the salvation of the world. We pray, Father, for this blessing first and above all, as, Lord Jesus, you taught, that we are to seek first thy kingdom and thy righteousness, with the promise that all these things would be added. We give thanks for the many things that we have, particularly in our area and in our nation, that others do not have. We pray for those who are in suffering, some who are again fleeing from their homeland and made to go to a place where they know not and have suffering. We pray, Father, for the means to help them. We pray, Father, that there might soon be more peace on earth, goodwill toward men, that will bring that peace to every nation, that it will come through the power of the gospel, that it may come to those that are denying thee, Lord Jesus, as the Son of God, that they may see the error of their way, and where we have known it, that we might be revived in it, that we will come again to thee as we ought, and acknowledge thee as Lord, Savior, one with the Father. We pray for those in hunger, those in sorrow. We pray for those in older age. We pray for those in sickness and injury. We pray for the broken homes. We pray that there might be thy Spirit given in the teaching in the church that will help establish homes rightly and continue them and bring reconciliation in the broken homes. We pray especially for the children in those homes, that thou would guide them. We pray for other needs that there are throughout the world, the schools, the workplace, government, our leaders. Pray that thou put thy fear in their hearts, that they might have the beginning of wisdom, all in thy name, Lord Jesus. Amen. As we look at this once again, in this language here, we might say, it really doesn't speak to us or speak of us. But when we think of it, in reality, it does. We read here, for he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. Though we, as Gentiles, do not have circumcision, we do have, I'm afraid, as I mentioned in prayer, and as Paul wrote to Timothy, having the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. That has been all through the ages. That was true before Christ, at the time of Christ, and after Christ, when the prophets came in the name of the Lord, in the power of God, with the Holy Word, they were hated. Christ had to say, which of the prophets have not your fathers killed? They've stoned those which were sent unto them. They did the same with the Lord Jesus. When he spoke, it was written again and again, that he spoke with authority and not as the scribes. And his word came with power. Power not only to give us the gospel in truth and in power, but the power that he could often speak, telling a person to be healed. And there was healing. So there was much power. And the more there was, the more he was hated. And when he even raised Lazarus from the dead, they wanted to kill Lazarus as well as one of the Lord Jesus to be killed. So it was hated. Hated the power of God. Hated the inward work of the Son of God in the hearts of sinners and even in the bodies of sinners. We see Paul continuing here when he says, he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is of the heart and in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men but of God. That basically refers to what Christ told Nicodemus. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And a little further in that conversation, except a man be born of water and the spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That is really the circumcision of the heart. That is the opening of the heart. And as Lydia, God opened her heart, that she gave heed to all that Paul spake, as we can read of it in the book of Acts. So that is the new birth. It is the quickening power of God, as we read of it, Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus, quickened together with Christ, they who were dead in their sin. That is the circumcision of the heart in the spirit, not in the letter alone. The letter is involved. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But as it was with these people here, as we can read just a little bit further, that to them were given the oracles of God. They had that, all of them. Many of them then, and same today, can memorize it. They have it. But only the letter, only the word believed objectively, historically, but not an experience of knowing by that word their sin. John Bunyan stated, one that does not know the law of God does not know sin. And one that does not know sin will not know Christ. And that's true. Paul said, I had not known sin except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. We may be sure that he had that in the letter. He probably learned it in memory when he was a young boy, and probably could speak it, the Ten Commandments, all through his life, quote them, but only in the letter. And Paul was no longer one that had only the letter. He knew it of himself. When that word came mightily, and he says, and I died, it smote him. Much like the publican, smote him in the heart, and there was no more hope in himself. Let me repeat it. No more hope in himself. Yes, that's true. There are many who have the word of God in the letter, and I've heard people say it, oh, we do the best we can, and we believe in Jesus. That's really being double-minded. It's believing in self and him, thinking we're doing well, and then thinking we also believe in him, but often only in the letter, knowing the prophecies of him, knowing that they were fulfilled, knowing where he was born, not knowing when he was born. We think we know, but we don't know. Not at all. We're not told. And certainly, I don't think it was in the winter. The Roman ruler wouldn't have called the people to go to the city of their birth in the middle of the winter. because all nations had to do that, not only Joseph and Mary. So we take things for granted, not only the letter of the word, but often tradition. We add to it. And as Christ said, you make void the commandments of God by your tradition. If we had the word truly, sharper than a two-edged sword, knowing it in truth, we would not let tradition get in the way. We would say away with it, but we don't. Literally every church has some tradition and makes us separate. One has this, another has that, as well as, sadly, different interpretations of the word. I was reading today an article about what's called the covenant of grace, and I thought how many people I know that would say very plainly, very strongly, we believe in the covenant of grace, but not with others, not alike. Each believes that it has slightly a different advantage, more or less, what is given in the covenant of grace. Some think it's only a privilege, and some think it's an absolute reality of salvation, all in different ways. So we need the circumcision of the heart that will take away our own self-righteousness, that will take away any clinging to what we think we have done or doing. As Horatius Bonar stated, not what my hands have done can save my guilty soul, not even all our tears, not even our prayers, even though God uses prayer. He uses faith, it's a means, but not because of it, only because of the death and resurrection and the shedding of blood of Christ. I want to make that very plain. Last week after I did the message, I thought, did I make the gospel plain? And I want to, I must. The Apostle Paul said, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. That means if I don't tell people that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, woe unto me. If it means something to us, we're thankful for it, and we want others to know it. We want them to know the good news, and that includes every single person. That includes those that are sexually right and sexually wrong. That includes the homosexuals. Good news. If they know their guilt. Some have known it, are thankful for deliverance, even though they still struggle. And we have to recognize that there is a power in sin. There's a power to different kinds of sin. I won't go into all of them. When people start a sin, they say it's hard to stop. It gains the mastery over them. And as Paul will say a few chapters later, that if we sin, we are the servants of sin. And that includes the sin of self-righteousness, too, the sin of pride that every one of us have. Not every one of us have all the same outward sins, but we all have pride. We all are called by God when we are satisfied with self. And that's where God has to begin. Like one preacher of years back said, God begins with us in the Laodicean state. We say we are rich and in need of nothing without knowing that we are poor, wretched, miserable, naked, and blind. And the circumcision of the heart makes that known, the word of God. John Bunyan pictures it as stirring the dust. If you have a Pilgrim's Progress with pictures, you can see it. The Spirit waters it. The devil tries to hide it. And John Bunyan makes a wonderful picture of Pilgrim coming from the city of destruction to the celestial city, and all the experiences along the way, and different kind of sinners, John Bunyan naming them, formalist, presumption, and other kind of names given to them. When we look at verse 28 and 29, we say, formalist, outwardly, in circumcision, outward in the flesh, a formalist. He has the form of godliness. Then the next verse is, it's not that way, not the outward. As good as it may be, as much of a privilege as it may be, as much even of a blessing it may be, if we're kept from outward sin, it's a blessing. If we have godly homes, if we are part of a church that teaches that, woe if we teach it as our only righteousness, washing the outside of the cup. That is worse almost than nothing. One preacher of the past recent years stated, it's more safe to go to a theater than it is to a wrong church. I don't know if that's the right statement or not, but that's what he made. Because the church would deceive, and he thought the theater, people could see that that wasn't right. And I can remember going once when I was a youth. I thought, never again. There was a mockery of God. It was plain to see. But I didn't know that we did that in the church. Yes, we can have a mockery of God, not knowing the only true God. As the psalmist states, Psalm 50, thou thoughtest I was altogether such a one as thyself. That's a mockery of God, bringing him down to our level. How terrible. And we do it. And sadly, that's often why churches are where they are. They think God is like them, not like the other churches would believe. We can't all be right when there's so much difference. We can all be wrong. When God spoke to the prophets before Christ, he said he looked for a man to stand in the gap and found none. None. He even had to reprove Jeremiah to come back and separate the precious from the vile. When Jeremiah didn't want to continue, the enmity of those around about him against him. And Paul, many times, they tried to kill him. They stoned him. They even left him for dead. And all of that because of hatred for God, hatred for his word, and especially his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, he is God's son, one with the Father, creator of heaven and earth, with the Father. And that must be, again, made known. If we don't believe in creation, we don't believe the beginning of the word. And if we don't believe the beginning of the word, we haven't started out right. We're on the wrong track. We're denying the holy God and what he told us plainly. We're denying actual history. How terrible to think we know better. How terrible to say, I will not believe what God tells us in the book of Genesis, Genesis 1, Genesis 2. I'll believe a guess instead. The guess of evolution. The theory of evolution. We've had some articles in our local paper back and forth. People even write the fact of the scientists of evolution. There are no facts. I repeat it. There are no facts. There would be a hasty change of the whole teaching of evolution. It would no longer be a theory. They would say, we have the facts, but they're not there. I have people tell me that. They just said so quickly, easily. And I say, give me one fact. They soon walk away. They have no facts. Guesses, changes, and I bring that in. Because if you don't believe that, you don't believe what I'm reading here from Romans chapter 2 and 3. What advantage then hath the Jew? What profit is there in circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were given the oracles of God. The oracles are the scriptures. And if you want to rip the first pages away, you said, I don't believe God. I don't believe the message he gave to me through Moses. And it isn't the only place. Over and over and over and over. Paul begins this epistle. And one way I don't like to just keep on referring to it, but there's probably many of you that haven't yet believed the history of the world. Colleges don't. Universities don't. Seminaries don't. Christian schools, so-called, don't. Paul writes right in the beginning of this letter, because that which be made known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world. The creation, the making of the world out of nothing. God speaking, and it was there, and it was good. From the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even as eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. Everyone in the world is without excuse. And if you are one that has the blessing of Scripture, you are twice without excuse. You have the world, the heavens declare the glory of God, and you have the Scriptures, and most of the Gentiles have more Scriptures than the Jews who had the Old Testament Scriptures, but do not want to know the New Testament Scriptures. And in closing, I want to say one more thing. We have the Word. What else do we have? What are we taught from the Word? What will the Word bring us to if we believe it? Well, you say, bring us to faith. Bring us to good works. That's true. But what about before that? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But what else does Paul tell us in that same context, that same chapter, Romans chapter 10? Whosoever shall call. God is calling us. Do you hear him? Have you heard him? So you called back and said, I'm here. I'm guilty. I want to call on the name of the Lord. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Yes, saved is a necessity. Again, some denominations are known more for that than others. Why? Because we don't all believe the Word of God. We don't all believe it alike. We don't all believe it as it's so plainly written. Saved, anybody ought to be able to read that. Born again, very plain. Christ said it to Nicodemus. He struggled with it, but Christ made it plain to him. Art thou a master in Israel and knowest not these things? And taught him the gospel, taught him sin, and taught him that if he knew the truth, that there would be blessing. All of it was needed, and I'm sure there was more told Nicodemus than what's recorded by John. We can read that in a very few minutes, and I'm sure Nicodemus was very possibly there longer than what it takes to read it. But God gave us what we need to know. When he gives us something, he often gives us other things similar in other places in Scripture. What we read in John chapter 3, we also have here. We'll have it, the gospel, particularly in the next chapter. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. Paul had also spoken of it earlier at the beginning of this letter, concerning his son Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead. Yes, Christ died and rose again. Died for our offenses. Rose again for our justification. Do you know it? Have you believed it to the saving of your soul? Are you ready to tell the world of it? The world must hear it today.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise